Please join with me in the unison prayer for illumination found printed in your bulletin. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. You see, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jackson, and thank you, Heather and choir. As Mike Reynolds already reminded you, the month of November is our month to focus specifically on stewardship. And while it happens to be the month that we talk about making our pledges for the coming financial year, and if you looked at the last announcement in your bulletin, that it also serves as a reminder to finish up our pledges for this year, it's also the month during which we remind ourselves that stewardship refers to more than just money. As we often say, it refers to time, treasure, and talents. Time, treasure, and talents. That's one reason that this story fits so well. This parable from Jesus is usually referred to as the parable of the talents, because the unit of money in question that Jackson just read about is called a talent. A talent was the largest unit of accounting at that time. And a talent represents 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So a talent was an abundance. So much of an abundance that it would seem to not run out, and that someone with even 1 talent, 20 years of a day laborer's wage, could just draw from it whenever he needed. So the word talent, in the way we know it today, also refers to whatever kind of a natural gift God has given us and helped us to develop. If you're a talented singer, then you can draw from that talent whenever you need to do so, as long as you're properly warmed up. And allergies aren't that bad. If you're a talented cook, then you can whip up something whenever the need arises and you have the right ingredients. And just like Whitney was showing, if you have the right tools for whatever your gifts are, you can always go into your tool bag and get them. A talent is a seemingly bottomless bag of tools, bag of gifts. But in the case of this story, a talent is not just a unit of money or an expression of something from which you could always draw. It's also a unit of time. A talent wasn't just measured by the amount of money. It was measured by the amount of money someone could earn in a lifetime. So a talent didn't just represent for these servants a gift or a dollar amount. A talent represented a life. The question, what did you do with your talent, could ask, what did you do with your money? Or what did you do with your abilities? Or what did you do with your life, with the time that was given? And those are all big questions. The master went on a long journey and entrusted three servants with his talents. But the master also returned to settle up with them. The master showed up twice. First, to call them and to give them the talents. And second, to come back and judge how they did. Jesus is telling this story in order to enlighten his followers who are gathered around him here in the days before his death about the kingdom of God and about his own return. They're asking questions about the kingdom of God, and he's telling them that it's like this master with three servants. Today, and in the next three Sundays as well, we'll be looking at this parable each of the Sundays. And I'll focus on a different story, a different character in the story every week. And today's character is the servant who received the five talents, the superstar of the story in a lot of ways. And here's the story again as it pertains to the five-talent servant. It will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave five bags of gold, according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The servant received the five talents, the five bags of gold, but the word is talents, talanton. And remember that a talent is worth 20 years of a day laborer's wage. So the servant received 100 years of minimum wage, which for us would come out to about $1.5 million. So the servant received about $1.5 million. Now, what would you do if you were simply given that amount of money? Even if you've never played the lottery, you've probably seen an ad and thought, well, what would I do if I won that? Now, after giving 10% of it to First Presbyterian Church, of course, you might pay off some loans. You might pay off your house or your car. You might finish paying for school, either for you or for someone else. You'd have to account for taxes, of course, but hopefully there would be enough left for you to invest. And that's probably what most of us would do if someone gave us $1.5 million. On the other hand, what would we do if someone entrusted us with $1.5 million? Being entrusted with something for caretaking involves a different level of responsibility and awareness than simply being given something. If I were given that amount of money for safekeeping, if I were entrusted with that amount, I'd probably have to spend some time doing some research. And I almost certainly wouldn't make all the decisions about what to do with it on my own. As the parable says, each according to his ability. And the five-talent servant clearly had a lot more ability than I and most of us have to manage that amount of money. We have financial advisors for those sorts of things, typically. But that is why the five-talent servant was given the five talents. He went, and he knew exactly what to do. And we're told he went immediately, he went at once, and put the money to work. We also aren't told exactly how he put the money to work. There were money changers at the time, as we see at the end of the story, who would provide money back at interest, similar to the way that banks do now. He might have given them some money, but what we're told that is that he immediately went and put the money to work. We also know that it was a long time before the master came back, and that in this time, the servant turned those 5 talents into 10 talents. And the ways he could have done so are almost endless. He could have bought land and grown crops and sold the crops. He could have purchased livestock and started a business that would haul and move things for people and then sold the business and returned the money to the master. He could have bought a boat and charged people to use his boat for fishing out on the sea. Maybe he became a banker and provided loans. He could have even found a precocious child, paid for that child's education and training, and then received money back as sort of a venture capitalist when that child grew up and became successful. There are all kinds of ways that he could have put those talents to use over a long period of time, but there was never a question in his mind that he would do so. He went immediately and put the money to work. He probably didn't even stick around to see what the other servants were given. It didn't matter. He had his gifts and he had his calling, and he went immediately and put them to work. So, when the master returned and received double his money back, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He also said, "You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's joy." Few things and many things. But this can also be translated as, "You have been faithful with the little things, so I will put you in charge of the big things. You've been faithful with minor things, so I'll put you in charge of major things." Notice that when the master came back, it was the servant who said, "Here, you gave me 5 bags of gold, here are 5 more. It wasn't the master coming back to say, "How much did you make? How much did you earn?" The master didn't ask how the servant was able to multiply it. The only thing the master actually said about the money was that it was a small thing. "I put you in charge of small things, and now you will be in charge of great things." As much money as that servant had, and as much as he did with it, the master considered the money to be a small thing, a little thing. More than that, the master's happiness does not come from the amount of money that was given and gained, but from being himself in charge of great things. "Now I will put you in charge of great things. Come and share in your master's joy." The master invited the servant to come and share, to enter into his own joy. In fact, the word for enter can mean literally enter, just as much as it means become aware of, grow in an understanding of. Come and become aware of your master's joy. The master's joy is not simply in giving and gaining money, but in his condition of being in charge of great things. So what are those great things? Well, of course, the servants. But we have to figure that it's not the amount of money that the master is praising here, but the attitude and the disposition of the servant. This becomes evident at the end of the story with the servant who only had 1 talent and buried it. But the important thing to know is that it wasn't the first servant's financial accomplishments that were celebrated, but rather the disposition that enabled him to achieve those things. The master was not celebrating the amount, he was celebrating the attitude. The servant acted immediately. He went to work. He knew that the talents that the master gave him were not simply for safekeeping, but were there to be used. And sure, he managed to double them over the course of a long time, but if he was putting them to work, then even if they hadn't completely doubled, how many other people would have been blessed in the process of using those talents, rather than simply hiding them or setting them aside? Let's assume he bought a field and raised crops. Well, there would have been the person who sold him the field, so that person is blessed by the master's talents. Then there are the people who worked in the field, and they were blessed by the talents of the master. Then there were the folks who bought the crops and sold them. There were their families. There were the folks who ate the crops, of course. And then there were probably all kinds of little mice and birds who captured all the seeds that fell from the crops. So while the master received back double what he had given in strictly financial terms, many, many other people were blessed along the way. And that's just one hypothetical. However he put the money to work, it gained enough through blessing others to be doubled. Now, the raw number of talents may have been doubled, but the work that the talents did went to a lot more than making money. The first servant realized that it was the master's own desire to put his own gifts to work. And he was choosing to do so through the servants. The master's joy lies in seeing that work done through his own servants. Well, the master in this story is obviously God. And we're obviously his servants. And while this story is told through money, it isn't just simply about money. Sure, our use of money and our attitude toward money are reflective of our attitude toward God and the gift of money that God has given. But that can be said about any of the gifts that God has given us. Everything we have, God has given. And whether or not he's given us five or two or one is of minor importance. The amounts are the small things. What is important is our attitude. And the five-talent servant also happened to have a five-star attitude. And through that attitude, through the immediate recognition that God was calling him to be active and to use his gifts, he was able to yield so much more. Jesus tells this story because he wants his disciples to be active and not passive in using the gifts with which he was entrusting them. Jesus talked about giving away a lifetime of money in this story because he was about to give his own life for them. Jesus applauded the servants who put their talents to work, even though that might have involved a little bit of risk. After all, if Jesus was putting his life on the line for them, then they could take some risks with the gifts he was giving them as well. And besides, if Jesus was going to be conquering death, then what more could they have been afraid of in life? If the master is one who will go to the cross for his servants, what do the servants have to fear in pursuit of the master's joy? The time for safety had passed because the news of Jesus had to be spread and the work of Jesus had to be done. Likewise, we are to use whatever means Jesus has given us to do his work. His own joy lies in seeing his gifts used. And whatever gifts he has given us, whether they're financial or interpersonal or artistic or anything else, can be used to touch others and to increase knowledge of God's own blessings and grace. Faithfulness means that we have trusted that God wants to put us to work with what he has. Faithfulness in this term of good and faithful servant. Because when we're putting our talents to work, we're putting God's talents to work. We express our gratitude for God's grace and our hope in his return by doing that work. And of course, sometimes it does involve risk. So what is God calling us to risk for his sake? What's God calling us to give and do for his sake? Where do we have abilities that we can use for Christ? Either to bless one another, to bless others, or to grow in our ability to serve. If God has given us something, then he wants it to be put to use with energy and excitement that say, thanks be to God who has given us this call. However great, however small it is, thanks be to God for giving us this call so that we may use it for his glory and so that we may be called into his joy. If that is our disposition, then we can also hear, well done, good and faithful servant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.